She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I'm just going to do a shout out and say, fasten your seatbelts, because this is going to be one great show. I, of course, want to acknowledge one of our sponsors. Our show is made possible due to the generous support of the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability. We are so appreciative of their support of Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. And I say that with my heart each and every time, because without the Fairfax Companies, we wouldn't be where we are today, which is making a global difference. Please check them out at thefairfaxcompanies.com for more information. So get ready. It's fair warning. The name of our show today is Organic Rise to the Top, and not just what this incredible institute is doing, but about the big intention. Let's hope for the organic rise to the top. And we're very pleased to have as our guest for this next hour, Maria Rodale. And Maria, you can correct me on saying that, because I even went to Google pronunciation, because there's different ways. And it's like, I don't want to say Rodale when it's Rodale.
I say it Rodale.
Rodale. Okay.
But, you know, I think that's a Pennsylvania accent or something.
It is. And I'm from Jersey, so you don't even know what I'm going to come up with. So, Maria is the chairman and CEO of Rodale, Inc., and co-chair of the Rodale Institute Board. And for our regular listeners, you might remember that in June of this year, I had the pleasure of interviewing Coach Mark Smallwood, who was the executive director at the time of our interview. He ignited a lot of fires. But back to Maria, she is an activist and a businesswoman who has made promoting the benefits of an organic lifestyle both her personal mission and her business. In other words, this is not a job for her. It's like she's on a mission, as the Blues Brothers would say, she's on a mission from God. So Maria's work and the work of the Rodale Institute is so incredibly important. And I don't want to rush through this introduction, because it is making a global impact. And because the show was so good, we asked Maria to come on as our guest so that there would be another hour to learn about the scope, magnitude, and impact of their work. So Maria, thanks for saying yes. I know you are pulled in many directions, to say the least. So there's the intro. And I think it's always great to start at the very beginning with just a short, or as long as you want, overview of the big mission of the Rodale Institute and the big picture impact. And then we'll do particular areas of focus, because I will not run out of material, believe me.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I'm happy to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But the origin of the Rodale Institute was founded by my grandfather, J.I. Rodale, and it was to, you know, explore and research the connection between healthy soil, healthy food, and healthy people. And that's still our mission today. And, when my father took over in the 1970s, he started the Farming Systems Trial, which is the longest running scientific study comparing organic to conventional agriculture, and it's, you know, tons of important essential data has come out. And now, you know, today with Jeff Moyer is the new executive director, and he actually he's, you know, I've known him since I was 13 years old. He actually planted the first farming systems trial. And, you know, now our mission is really to get more farmers farming organically and more acres into organic. So we feel like we're going to continue the research, and it's important, but we know enough to know the priority is shifting as much land and as many farmers to organic.
And the going into that a little bit deeper, the interview with Mark was great. And the illuminating parts of it to me were, he said some pretty powerful things about if we shifted from big ag and conventional farming to organic farming. I mean, we're talking about certified organic farming and the work that you have done. It literally could change the world in a very short time in terms of the acceleration of climate change. I mean, that's huge.
That's the major finding from the farming systems trial, which is kind of interesting because we didn't even really think that, you know, in 1973 when we started the study that it would, you know, I don't think people were thinking about climate change. We were just thinking about organic farming. And one of the major findings has been that organic soils store carbon in, you know, huge quantities compared to conventionally farmed soil. And if you do the math, if every farm and every, you know, landscape in America shifted to organic, you know, we could actually start reversing the climate crisis.
I mean, that was wonderful to hear that. Yeah. And it's like, what can we do to flip a switch? We can't. But it gives that beacon of hope for me that after some of these shows, you know, my husband and I put our heads down in the studio and say, okay, let's not save any money for the grandchildren. Let's just enjoy life as it is, because there's pretty powerful acceleration going on right now, which, you know, maybe the Paris, you know, climate action talks will help. I think our country is providing. We can help. Oh my gosh, you guys can help. Seriously. And, you know, I really do work very hard to honor the guest I have to go a little bit deeper. And I would love to talk about the healing power of regenerative organic agriculture. I was, you know, when I read the blog that you wrote about your dad died over 25 years ago, right? September. Mm-hmm. Did I read that right? I mean, it's remarkable what you're doing, but what you reflected in that blog is it's not as simple as saying organic is enough. It's not enough. It's regenerative organic. You guys are the thought leaders on all these terms. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read a quote, short one. While my father was still alive, I was working with him on sketching out the philosophy of regeneration based on the process of healing in the soil as the land transitions from chemical to organic, which scientists were observing on the farming systems trial at the Rodale Institute. So tell us about that piece, and I want you to really specifically talk about in agriculture, in communities, and personal spirit. It's the ultimate integration of thought.
Well, so, you know, my father came up with the idea of regeneration because in order to get funding from the government, back, and this is back in the early 80s, you couldn't use the word organic because it was too controversial.
Can you imagine that?
And that's where the word sustainability came from, you know, sustainable farming.
Right.
It kind of slipped through the cracks. It wasn't, you know, because you could be a chemical farmer and be sustainable. But my father really wanted to, like, look at it and go, wait, you know, no, we can't, sustainable isn't good enough. We've got to be not just organic, but, like, constantly improving the soil over time. And so that's where he came up with the idea of regeneration, which is really, you know, it's happening in nature all the time. Like, if we let nature alone, it regenerates and it's just fine. That's why I always say the planet will be just fine, you know, without us. It's us we have to worry about, you know.
The planet will sustain itself. It's so true. It's so true.
So, you know, when we started the farming systems trial, it was really about, like, trying to understand the transition process from, you know, chemical to organic, and how long does it take, and what happens in the soil over time, and as you know, after like 5 years, we figured, okay, we got it, we understand what happens, but wow, there's all this other interesting stuff happening. So you know, he made up a list that I don't have it in front of me. I'll look it up. But
I do have it, and I'm sure you'll be able to do it. I mean, it's really, look it up, you know, put it up. But I like to think that our show is about people that really do want to know better and do better. So I would love to go through some of that. He came up with seven tendencies towards regeneration, and you have hope looking back over 25 years because the topic is finally finding a home in our hearts and in our minds and in our actions, our buying, the way we buy.
So he I have it in front of me now, but he came up with, the researcher said, here's the 7 things that happen in the soil.
Right.
When you switch to organic, there's an increase of, plant species and diversity. There's more surface cover of plants. So, you stop erosion and you increase the beneficial microbial populations, in the soil.
Right. And this is all happening just by doing, organic. So go ahead.
Right. And this was before we knew about the carbon sequestration.
Right.
I can explain what happened, so then the third thing was, it's more pure. So without chemical fertilizers and pesticides, there's a greater mass of life in the soil.
Right.
There's more perennial plants. Weeds, so what happens when you transition to organic, the second year that you farm, like weeds just go out of control. Because it's like they're free,
right? Everybody's hungry, and they can eat.
And it's like, and then over time, everything gets under control, and there's like a peacefulness to the system. And then the sixth thing is, there's more access to the nutrients. Plants have more access to the nutrients. They're not just like being sprayed on and then filtering through, but it's in the microbes of the soil. And then, the last thing is the progress that over time, everything improves. The soil structure improves, the water retention capacity. What we now know is that all these things that improve, the life in the soil is what stores carbon.
Right.
So at the time, we didn't know that, but what we were, playing around with, basically, my father and I, was, how does this relate to, communities and like personal growth and development? And so the full list is on my blog, but, it's really about living in harmony with nature and how that enables healing and growth in not just the land, but in our own lives and communities. And also stops climate change. So
and
it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. But to me, when I read the piece, every word of the 7 tendencies, I just thought about 5, which to me is one of the biggest ones bubbling up these days, and not something you see in a lot of writing about organic farming. Yes, this was a reflection on the social justice issue and food security and food safety.
Yeah.
And it's, I was like, whoa, nobody was talking about 25 years ago.
A lot of my thinking now is about the paradigm shift that we need to go through. And when I wrote Organic Manifesto,
which I actually want to talk about too.
but when I was researching it, I found this, DuPont chemical brochure from the 50s, and it was so over the top that I couldn't believe it. It was like the soil is the enemy. We killed pests. It was really like command and control, like farmers as commanders and controlling nature,
And not as good stewards of the earth at all.
No.
At all.
I think, we're seeing that culturally, even in the Middle East. It's like trying to kill something doesn't solve the problem.
No, it doesn't.
It just makes problems.
It really and truly does.
And so, the paradigm we have to shift to is one that is like really like learning and honoring and respecting nature and collaborating with nature. And I use the word love a lot in business, and it's not really popular, but
we'll make it popular. That's right. It's like, come on, let's say it.
It's like how you approach. If you approach the land with love, it will return gifts to you in abundance,
100-fold or 1,000,000-fold. I mean, treat
and
it
it's
with
the same way with people.
Yep.
you know? So
it's really important.
We know it's the end of an, you know, to me, my hope is that we end the command and control era and replace it with a more loving and understanding era.
And I'm going to be holding the space for that as well. And the other one was about potential, because I think that there are a lot of people shooting holes in the whole trickle-down theory. You know, we make it better for mm-hmm. a big business and then everybody wins, which is BS. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on. But the trickle-up economics. And
yeah.
I'm reading this and I'm sitting here by myself saying, you've got to be kidding me. This is like a fortune teller, someone that is in a very real sense of someone saying, this is what is real, only I'm way ahead of my time. So it was what a tribute to the, I just keep thinking about the word thought leadership. I love that, because that's what I want to have on the show. And that was a really good reflection on of that. And, you know, I don't know. I reflected on how do you ever get over your dad died way too early.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge of that. But it was like, yeah, come on. Are you kidding me? We had a very dear friend, and it is relevant, our friend Rafe Sagarin, who has done global work with oceans mm-hmm. and wrote Learning from the Octopus, worked for the State Department, and he was killed about 2 months ago on his bicycle going to Biosphere 2. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
No, that was a mistake. Somebody, anybody listening, but it is. And we, you know, there have been so many memorials to him and the elevation of what his vision was for Biosphere that it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. And reading about your dad, it's like, this is a man who you didn't want to shake his hand. You wanted him to hug you. That's how I felt. Talk about love. It's like, I so want this man to give me a hug because I will hug him back. So
he wasn't a big hugger. My mother was a hugger.
That is a great response. He was a scientist. I mean, seriously. So that is great. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that very personal share. Ditto for my dad. It was not the hugger generation. And But what a role model. And he saw it and felt
wonderful.
It. He just didn't want to show it.
You
got it. You got it. So, I mean, this is not in the script, but what about your mom? Is she still alive?
No, she passed away about 6 years ago, and she was 81, but suffered from breast cancer and, you know, kind of beat it and then beat it again and then beat it again. And finally, you know, she succumbed, but she, you know, good long life. She was, you know, more of a spiritual person.
Yes.
Than, you know.
Yes.
Did, you know, was very much of it, like an AIDS activist and things like that. And
I am getting there, kiddo. I'm telling you. I was just talking to somebody from the Food Recovery Network, and I'm on their national advisory board, and I said, be careful about ageism among some of the younger people that are looking at me and saying, you know, they're hanging around with the young, hot, hip, happening environmentalists, and be careful of that, because the true sustainable message is integration of all the generations and the wisdom that we really don't want to lose. And I know that I knew this was going to happen, but we are 1 minute out from our first break. So that felt about like 1 second to me. It's like, I can't be getting the sign. And when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit about, you had a critical role in this strategic development of a really vast organization. I don't want to call it, I mean, it's an organization, it's a community contributing to the global consciousness. So I'd like to talk a little bit about when you're doing strategic development of this magnitude, you know, the process and some of the things that you wanted to come about for the organization as a result, and then some of the challenges. I think people who listen to my show like to know Inside Edition. And, you know, you decided to go into the big, 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 vast sea of online shopping. It's I mean, that's a big yes as well. And about, you know, what that means and how you're your mission to make us have happier and healthier lives. So everybody, you don't want to go anywhere. You want to sit in your seatbelt and hear more from Maria Rodale, who is the co-chair of the Rodale Institute Board. She's the chairman and CEO of Rodale Inc., and we're going to talk a lot more about it. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmerglass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. And now, more with Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and hopefully with each show, bring you something very important to think about, learn about, and grow with the Mrs. Green's World community. So thanks for being with us. The name of our show today is Organic Rise to the Top, and we are pleased and thrilled to have as our guest Maria Rodale. She is the chairman and CEO of Rodale Inc., and the co-chair of the Rodale Institute Board. And I sometimes love it when I, you know, gloss over that and then realize down the rabbit hole what a big, huge, with each one of those titles comes a lot of work, never sleeps. That's what I'm saying to myself, she never sleeps. Maria is an activist and a businesswoman who has made promoting the benefits of an organic lifestyle both her personal mission and her business. And I don't think that you had a choice. It was in your DNA. That's what I think. Between your mother and your father, you had it. And I want to say a little bit about what I really didn't know. And I honestly admit that Rodale and its subsidiaries are the world's leading health lifestyle media company and publish some of the best known health and wellness lifestyle magazines on the planet. And truly, you are one of the largest independent book publishers in the United States. Is that a fair and accurate statement?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, I mean, from what my research showed me, big, big. And I'm thinking, why didn't I know this when I wrote my book? But when I come to the next book, I hope I'll make the cut. It's like, oh my goodness, I could have you been the publisher. So anyway, it's like, okay, the inspiration for the second book. So let's talk about strategic development. I mean, it's a vast empire that you had to look at and many directions in which you could have gone. So one of them, of course, is your work in agriculture. Another is publishing. And another to me, which may not be in your strategic plan, but building global partnerships. I think you're a big green dot activator. So let's talk about when you took that on, what were you thinking? That's really not my question, but like, wow.
Took on which of
the
things?
The strategic development, deciding how to pick where you're going to focus and grow. Those are very conscious choices. We're going to focus on this, and we're going to grow on this, and you know what I mean?
It's a constant challenge because the world is changing so quickly.
At the speed of sound, yes.
Yeah, I grew up, working in the business and, just for your listeners, we publish, Organic Gardening Magazine since 1942, Prevention Magazine since 1960.
Nobody would even believe that. Say that again. 1942.
Prevention Magazine since 1950. Men's Health Magazine, which is now in over 90 countries in the world. Women's Health, which is, I think it just turned 10 and is one of our fastest growing international titles, and
which
Runner's
is so
World
great.
Bicycling. Yeah. So,
okay,
I mean,
Runner's World. Okay.
Runner's World and Bicycling Magazine. So we're in the health and fitness space. And organic gardening has now been shifted to be organic, Rodale's Organic Living Magazine. Or Organic Life, sorry. It's the end of the day here on the East Coast. And and then on our book side, we have published books like, you know, The South Beach Diet and Wheat Belly, you know, very much focused on health and human development and fitness and things like that. And but as I mentioned earlier, the world is constantly changing. Digital has changed everything. And, you know, with a magazine or a book, consumers are contributing to the revenue of those products. They're either subscribing or buying the book. And advertising is a piece of it. But online, the only revenue that's come from online content has been advertising revenue, which is very fickle.
Yes. And oh, my gosh. That's a perfect word. It's fickle and mean-spirited at times. It's like,
not saying mean-spirited, you know, but you know, the winds of change, you know, anything could happen. And, you know, now, you know, there's ad blocking. And, you know, so my goal is, you know, how do I pass this company on to the next generation, you know, hopefully better than I found it. And not that, you know, what I found was bad, but, you know, you just want to improve things. I want to regenerate. And when I looked around at where people were spending money online, it was in shopping. And personally, you know, I'm one of those people who've always tried to live my life according to my values. So, you know, I see all the health data in the world, you know, when it comes to personal care products or clothing, how clothing is, you know, manufactured and the toxicity of it. So I've constantly looked for, you know, organic clothing and toxic-free personal care.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, all those kinds of things. And there was nothing out there in one place. So it was a big effort for me. And I thought, well, you know, why don't we provide a service for people by putting all these things in one place and sell people products that actually make the world better. So, you know, instead of shopping at Walmart and Target and then feeling guilty and like going out and volunteering to help the environment in some other way or, you know, donate to a charity that helps poor people in Bangladesh, you know, why don't we just prevent all that stuff from happening in the first place by supporting, you know, vendors and businesses and people that, you know, are creating things that are in harmony with nature.
And fair and so trade. To, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, fair trade too. So when you come to Rodales.com, everything there has been vetted by like the Rodale standards, which are pretty rigorous. There's like nothing else out there that is as rigorous as ours in a lot of different categories.
And the fashion industry is the second most damaging in the world. I mean, with all of the iterations of it and the dyeing and the water depletion and the whole social justice issue. It's a, you know, if I had to ever narrow down my show, which I will not because I'm the voice of free and independent news, but it's really, I would pick food and I would pick fashion because to me, we all eat and we all wear clothes. I mean, and that really leads into every other area of how much energy we consume and the air we breathe and causes for cancer. And I know you probably don't want to go through each and every one of the manifesto, but I want to point out that there is a written manifesto online if you go to rodales.com/our mission. And I like one of the things I wanted to highlight is we believe in feeling comfortable and stylish no matter what our size or shape. That really matters. It's not location for size 2 and under. And just that freedom is really, and I thought I would put you on the spot to ask you after I read for hours and hours and hours, do you play often? We believe in working hard, playing often, and remembering to pause and feel grateful for it all. And I thought, maybe she can give me some on-air advice about the balance a little bit better.
First of all, I do sleep really well.
That is the hottest topic you could pick with me. I do not. So that's like,
I don't know why, you know, like, because I know I've talked to a lot of people who don't sleep well, but I mean,
That's really, really great.
I sleep well. But yeah, no, I do try. To me, there's like a, we have a book coming out. It's not quite out yet. It's called, hold on, I have it here. Health Revelations from Heaven and Earth.
Oh my gosh.
And it's written by a guy and a doctor, but the guy, you know, had one of those, like, he was killed and then he came
right,
back to life.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like his, what he learned on his journey, and then a doctor, you know, puts it into medical terms as well. But one of the key points in there that just resonated with me is that, you know, we talk about balance, and what really balance is like, if you give, if you're giving to other people, whether it's in your job or, you know, with your kids or your family or, you know, volunteering, you have to balance that with replenishment. And if you don't, that's when things get out of balance and you get sick. And so, like, you know, there's this culture in America of, like, you have to be going, you know, or like a CEO has to, like, stay up till midnight and wake up at 5. It's like, forget it. If I
not
can
good.
Line, I will.
Right. Not good. Not good. Not so, sustainable.
You know, more, right. Right. So the more we give to other people in our daily lives, the more we have to give back to ourselves. And so I do things like I schedule in, you know, I have a monthly massage. It's scheduled, you know, and I said it's my happiest hour of the month. You know?
That's one thing I do too, and I'm not kidding. It's like across my heart, the one thing I will not give up is my, I do 90 minutes. So I have
to put
that in the plus column for me, because I'm not totally in balance about scheduling me time.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like whatever gives you pleasure, you know, you have to kind of make sure you work it into your schedule and then try to have fun, you know, and like work. I think work should be fun. It's not always fun, believe me, but
I could not agree with you more. I mean, when I was talking to your assistant, I said, you know, I'm Mrs. Green. And it's like morphed into, that's how I show up every day on the planet. It's like, yep, I'm Mrs. Green and I'm okay with that. So there's the manifesto with some really, I mean, it's more, it's so much more than a mission or a vision statement. It's a manifesto, such a strong word. And I would like you to talk a little bit about some of the values. You care about how it makes you feel. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Well, do you want me to read it?
Yes, I think it would be great, because everybody's not going to go to the website. And I think it was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start shopping there.
Good.
And I mean that. You know, I don't say that things like that on the air very lightly. It's like it makes it what I call guilt-free shopping.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those that'll go and I'll buy something in Target and I feel awful. It's like, oh my gosh, this was made by slaves. That's what I say. Speaking of manifesto.
That's exactly what I was going for, was guilt-free shopping. And guilt-free, you know, because as women, you know, oh, there's so much pressure to be a certain way.
Right.
And it's like, so you know, the first thing is we bring together the best in organic living to make it easy for everyone to live a happier, healthy life. And so in other words, you don't have to, like, I would say you don't have to put on your, like, reading glasses to shop here, because we've already read the fine print.
Yes, you can trust it. It's total trust. You don't have to do the research.
Yeah.
It's like, I can buy anything on this site. And let me just interrupt you and say, you have apparel and accessory, beauty and care, food and cooking, home and garden, active living, gifts, underscore gifts. What am I going to give somebody that is living consciously? And I can hand them something that I know was not made in X country by slaves, and they work 6 hours a day, 18 days a week, if they're lucky.
And I approve every single product that's on the site.
You're kidding.
And I reject a lot. So,
and what, you know, what would you like to share with us a little bit about what would make you reject something? Is it not knowing enough?
Everything from, you know, it's not, you know, the vendor doesn't meet our, standard, like if it's not 100% organic, or, you know, as much organic as you can get in that category, to like if there's plastic on it. You know, we don't have anything plastic, nothing.
Just did everybody hear that? I want to ring the bell. When I was on a terrestrial radio show, they had a bell there, and I wanted to always ring the bell and say, did you hear that? No plastic.
Like the buyers will bring me, like, you know, a coffee maker, and it's like, but it's so cool, and it's, you know, it's really modern, and it's like, there's plastic on it. No. You know.
Next.
We don't need to add. You know, and then with the apparel, it's you know, it's more subjective, and it honestly, you know, sometimes I don't agree with the buyers, and I let them get away with stuff.
Right,
but it's,
right.
You know, is it going to fit well? Is it going to hold up well? Is it comfortable? And sometimes you can't tell until after we carry it and you buy it, and it's like, oh, this didn't work out the way I thought. And sometimes it's even better. So, but that's another big thing for me is, you know, we believe in feeling comfortable and stylish no matter what our size and shape, because, you know, I'm 53 and I'm probably a size 14. You know, I'm healthy.
I knew I'd love you.
It's
like, yes, it's like I'm a size 12, but I'm only 5'3". Yeah.
Well, I'm 5'3 as well. So, you know, so you're ahead of me, but, you know, we want to feel good and look good and, you know, not be, you know, relegated to, you know, stores that just don't make me feel good.
And there's another piece to it, going back to how it makes you feel. So mm-hmm. that's a visceral, that's a tactile reaction when you do put lipstick on. And if I right. put a lipstick on and it feels like I just put Bondo on my lips, not yeah, feeling yeah. so good. You know, like 10 yeah. years ago, I was getting lip ink. I don't even want to remind mm-hmm. myself of that, which yeah. was basically putting a dye on my lips. And you talk about a cashmere sweater. Did you ever see anybody who touched cashmere that didn't go, oh, this feels so good, and it's going to last forever? So
yeah,
how
exactly.
that makes you feel from the yeah. inside and out. And then can yeah. we go and a little bit more into how it's made?
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, that's the thing. We carry cashmere sweaters. There is no standard for organic cashmere,
right?
But there, you know, there are standards for, you know, how the animals are treated. The cashmere goats and you know how the workers are treated. So we carry a brand called Kinross that, you know, meets all of those standards. And you know, so it might be a little bit more expensive than what you'd get if you go to, you know, cashmere at, you know, J. Crew.
Right.
But it's also going to be much higher quality and much more good for everybody.
And here's what excited me about the site, to be honest, because a lot of people now, with my growing national presence, people ask me for advice and they email me and they put things on Facebook, where can I do this? And I have yeah. to talk about, I want to go down to the nitty gritty of one of the things that was a big discovery for me. You
okay.
really need to vet your candles because they can
yes.
have lead in the wick.
Yep.
They can emit
yep.
chemicals that are giving people asthma and creating yep. to the toxic environment. And the other thing about the site is, don't worry about everything being expensive. Like, there were these two little, I'm probably going to order them, beeswax sparrow candles that I want to give my uh-huh. sister-in-law that are
$20.
It's like
yeah.
$20. This is
yeah.
an investment in a really healthy future that matters for all of us. I mean, it's just, and
right.
it's fun.
Well,
and it's fun.
Well, one of the classic, you know, if you would be a fly on the wall in the product review meetings that we have, they're like, you know, okay, the fragrances are organic and, you know, it's made by like somebody in Vermont and, you know, the wick is lead free, and it's a soy candle. A soy wax candle. I'm like, well, is the soy GMO free?
Oh, I know. I never asked that question until right now. I'm admitting it. I
and
never
they
did.
They like, they want to like kill me, but then they go find out.
They
and sometimes, you know, if it's not GMO free, we don't carry it, you know?
I never thought of that. And I'm like the, you know, the big banner carrier, anti-GMO. So I
right.
never thought about that. And I don't think
yeah.
I've ever seen that on a label, so now I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm serious,
yeah.
but that's what we have you for now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, I would want to come across the table and say, I thought I was doing such a good job at soy. But now there's another piece to that. But that's about going not just wider, but deeper. And really
yeah. and
where the love
the
of yourself comes in, too.
Yeah, and the whole point is, like, you shouldn't have to, every person in the world shouldn't have to worry about those things. You know, you want to create a sense of trust that, you know,
yes.
if I go to this place, somebody else is worrying about that stuff. And I just, you know, decide, do I want, you know, the pine scented candle or do I want the, you know, grapefruit scented candle?
And you don't have to worry about it being artificial scents. Like, to me,
right.
when I go in somebody's house and they have those Glade things stuck
yeah.
in their bathrooms, I want to
yeah.
pull them out. And you walk in and you say, oh gosh, chemical assault coming
yeah.
up.
And I think if people realized like how damaging that was to their health, they would never do it. You know, it's, and that's something that, you know, it's, we, you know, we do a lot, talk a lot about, you know, what foods we eat and health, but artificial fragrances, and you know, are one of the most damaging things.
It's and they're everywhere. So everybody, this is the second break that we have to come up upon. So hold that thought. We're going to come back with artificial fragrances and more from Maria Rodel from the Rodel Institute. Stay here with me, everybody. We'll be right back with more great stuff.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. You are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And how fun is that? Getting to think about everything that's been covered on the show so far. We are so blessed to have Maria Rodel. She is the chairman and CEO of Rodel Inc. and co-chair of the Rodel Institute Board. And these words, I want to just really speak them so consciously. She's an activist and a businesswoman who has made promoting the benefits of an organic lifestyle both her personal mission and her business. And believe me, she gets the down low and she digs deeply. So it's like, don't try to run anything by her. It will not work. And thank you so much for that. It's like, I know, I hope if some of your team listens to this, they get a chuckle out of it. So we were talking about the toxic assaults of artificial fragrances and perfumes and everything that assaults us. I went into a mall the other day, and I don't ever, and I mean, I was trying to think of the last time I had been in a mall, and I was like, I walked in, I went, it smells in here. They're pumping chemicals into my lungs. I couldn't wait to get out.
Even I found out, like, if you go to a Subway, you know, they're pumping the artificial Subway smell.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm not talking about the New York City Subway. I'm talking about, you know, the sandwich shop. You know, it's this whole like industry that's about like kind of creating quote unquote desire for things, but it's really, you know, it's harmful.
And it's activating harmful. Those senses where you smell something. And my biggest sin in this whole world is that, like, I don't think I'm ever giving up bacon because.
Oh, no, I love bacon.
Yes, a lot of people who are vegetarians, when you ask them, even on the show, the only thing they miss is bacon. And if they fall, they're going to eat bacon. It's just, but that's exactly what you're talking about. You smell it, and then your mouth waters, and then your body starts saying, I can't live without bacon.
It tastes so good.
Oh, God, it tastes
so good.
There's
bacon is the official Rodel family food.
So.
Organic.
That organic. And that's the thing about making that consciousness. I mean, I'm getting a little shook up here because bacon should be its own food group. That's what I think. So anyway.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things that it was demonized, you know, the fat and stuff. But, you know, new research is showing that it's actually like, you know, really it's the same kind of positive fat as olive oil. And, you know, if you think about it, like in the olden days, you know, you couldn't if you lived in Pennsylvania, for example, you weren't going to be getting olive oil, you know. So people used, you know, animal fats, like, you know, lard or bacon, bacon drippings, you know, for their, how they cooked, and they were fine. It was healthy. It's what goes into the pig now that makes it unhealthy. Cause you know, the, in the fat is where we store, you know, all that, those extra hormones that are being pumped in, the chemical residues, the antibiotic residues and all that stuff. So you really enjoy your bacon, but try to get it organic.
And it's good fat. I mean, I want to do hashtag good fat because I just went to my naturopath last week and she said, eat more avocado. Don't drink skim milk. Drink whole milk.
Whole milk.
Ice cream that's whole fat, because those things will not make us fat. They will make us healthy. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. So you don't have to worry about that if you go on to Rodale's.com, because it's our homework has been done. And just a little sidebar
Although we don't sell bacon.
When are you going to start selling bacon? That could be on the team building exercise for 2016, but that's a whole nother, you know, thing to get in. Well, I did want to ask you this about when you talk about vetting. One of the things that I would imagine to be one of the challenges, but you know the answer, is how do you make sure, like, how do you know if you pick a farmer in India that's let's say a clothing manufacturer. Do you actually send teams there, or tell us a little bit about the very exhaustive vetting process? That's huge.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gotten to the point where we can actually afford the time or money to
I mean, that's a big
farm. So we have to rely on, you know, on our vendors, and we double check with them. And you know, there's a number of like certifications, you know, international certifications.
Right, that are the really, that, you can trust.
Yeah, that same like, you know, same as, you know, the USDA certified organic. There's international textile certifications.
Right.
And so we check all of those off. And then we also, you know, we get to know our vendors and
and form relationships with them. I know I read that somewhere. We know who we're doing it. And I had Marcy Zaroff on, who's just a eco-fashion. She's great. I mean, she is so great. Not to mention ugly, and so is her. When she got, I hope she listens to this someday, because, I mean, when I saw her, I'm like, wow. And then I saw her engagement picture on Facebook, and I'm like, they are the beautiful people. And she, I've met her, and she is beautiful on the inside out and making such a difference, really, you know, getting attention. But I digress, which is so unlike me. So back to the vetting standards. But you're right. Even in the diamond industry, a friend of mine is a custom jeweler, and I had him on the show, and he's very successful. And I said, how do you know it's not a blood diamond? And he said, you have to find organizations that you can trust that do the certification, because no, I cannot go to see where this diamond was mined and how it got to my shop. You know what I mean? So it's, there has to be that international standard. What do you, like, I'd like to do a little bit, because the time will fly, about more on the personal level, without, you know, like, you have been involved for a long time, and you, I am trusting, have a worldview of our planet, of where we were 25 years ago, and not just here, but locally. And what are you feeling about the general recognition and the general consciousness of, you know, we are what we eat, the resources on the earth are depletable, you know what I mean? So where's your feelings about, are you positive? Are things being activated? What's your worldview from being 13 and did you start working for the company then? I think you did, in printing or in the market. In
like after school. Forced child labor.
You've seen a lot.
So I've seen a lot. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, because we're a family business and I'm third generation, and the fourth generation, you know, we're actively educating. And I would say, I look at it, my role, it's like as a relay, you know, race, not as a marathon.
Very good. And, that's interesting.
And, you know, so you think back to 25 years ago when I worked on the seven tendencies with my dad of regeneration, you know, Whole Foods, nobody had really heard of Whole Foods. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if they're 25 years old, but like they were small. And, and you know, the USDA organic certification didn't even exist until, the year 2000, I think. So, you know, which was like,
those are really positive changes. Yes.
Huge. And that enabled, you know, so right now, like, the growth in the organic industry is huge. And that's in spite of, to me, what I've observed is some of the, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I know I will, the biggest thing holding us back is our own cells and the disagreement we have within our own community. So, for instance, the vegetarians versus the meat eaters.
Yes.
You know, like, so if we, going
the
back
polarization,
to
the, kind of.
Yeah, going back to the farming systems trial, you know, if we shift to organic, we've solved the climate crisis. People can still eat meat.
Right. You know? Yes, yes.
You know, the reason we have such big, healthy brains is because we eat meat, you know, and I'm not criticizing vegetarians, but it's like, it's kind of like we just like we need religious freedom in the world, we need philosophical food ideological freedom. And I say, you know, it's not local versus organic, it's local and organic. You know, it's vegetarian and, you know, meat eaters together sitting down at the table and being, you know, working together. And, you know, the people we really need to, like, work on are the people who are, like, not even registering any caring about the environment. You know, how do we get them to care? And so I'm very optimistic, actually. That's a long way of saying we've come a long way.
But everything you shared really is important about the divisiveness and polarization. Mm-hmm. It's not what we need in the path to consciousness about the planet.
Right.
So
right.
Very, very wise words.
I am, though, very optimistic. I think, you know, the solutions are there. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk and you know, the Tesla and the solar battery and, you know, his efforts with, you know, it's like the answers are there. We just have to shift behaviors and shift perceptions.
And I'd be very happy to be a demo for his car. He just hasn't answered my emails. Drive that all over the place. Actually, I have a great sponsor, a show sponsor, and I drive one of the very good, not covered up market VWs. I mean, I drive a clean burning fuel car, and everybody asked me when that report came out about VW, like, how's your car? And I was on it. So yeah, the Tesla, I hope he's listening, and maybe we'll just get gift wrap for Christmas. So putting it out there to the universe.
Well, I haven't gotten mine yet either. So,
okay, so we'll text each other. The other question, and then I really want to go back to, this is my thing, because to me, the power of the purse and the power of purchasing, when you talk about women, I want to go back to that. But before we run out of time, one of my frustrations is the lack of a very strong, defined role of media in terms of all of this. And I'm leaving tomorrow for a Bioneers conference.
Oh,
and, you
good.
Know, they were the early adopters. They started, well, you're older, not you, but Rodell, 26 years ago. They were talking about these things when people thought they were quacks, wackos, tree huggers.
Yeah.
And now I could hardly get in as press to this conference. So that's a good sign. But the role of media, do you feel as though there's anybody besides Mrs. Green's World, says she tongue in cheek, of doing the role of raising the consciousness and being the voice of sustainable living and conscious living? I see a big void.
I see a lot, you know, a lot of individual journalists really trying.
Right, right.
And there's like, the FERN network, which is the Food and Environmental Reporters Network, which is
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. Sam Fromart, I think.
Oh, I'm so writing that down. Okay.
You know, I think the most powerful networks or like media things are the nonprofits because they, you know, they're not getting advertising necessarily.
Right. Nobody owns their voice.
But they, you know, but they have to raise funds, which is, you know, a challenge as well. And, you know, the biggest issue right now is people aren't paying for journalism because they can, you know, quote unquote, get it for free on the web.
Yes. Yes.
But then how do journalists make a living? You know, so, so I think, you know, one of my strategic business goals as CEO of Rodell Inc., which is a media company, is to start testing models where people start to pay for content, knowing that what they're paying for is the truth.
I love it. And I'll tell you what, put some media people in radio that you like in those trials. Hint, hint, hint. It's like I'm shameless because, you know, you heard the promo that we do for our sustainers model because it's very challenging. I didn't have any idea when I started this 8 years ago that it would grow as it have and begin to get traction. I was a half hour radio show on a paid spot on Saturdays, you know, News Talk 790, KNST, and I felt the call. It became, oh my gosh, you know, you have to do this. And it's constantly challenging. And PBS, you know, every time you, once a month, they're having a call for sponsorship, as big as they are. It's a never-ending, how do we monetize this? So good for you. Why am I not surprised that you're going to be doing that? So we have about five minutes left. So finish that thought.
You know, or 2 years from now, how it goes, because, you know.
And I'll be, I will be watching and waiting. It really matters. And I'm, of course, going to bring it up at Bioneers. I will, it's not just about me getting these great guests and, you know, tweeting and Facebooking, but it's about the power of the collaborations in media that will really help pump up the volume, as I say. So I want to just go back again to, I know you won't mind, but Rodale's .com and so many of the things that made me happy, and I mean that sincerely, are people ask me about what should I store my food in, because everything I read about gives me cancer. Don't worry. Go to Rodales.com and look at their stainless steel. You don't have to worry.
Glass and stainless steel.
Glass and stainless steel. And it's like it's all there. And then if you want to have fun, some of the names, like mother-in-law's kimchi, I love that. I mean, that was like a really good one. So it's not a typical shopping site. I'm just going to say that. There's a lot for cleaning solutions. And I, Rodale's Inc. is not a sponsor of Mrs. Green's World. Maybe that's a dream come true someday. But I want to promote it because it really, really matters to me. Mason Jar Herb Planner. Like, you guys have it going on. I'm doing my shopping. And of course, Kelly King, my show producer, she'll be on it and spreading it to hundreds of mothers via her Facebook site. But no, it's really, it really matters. Because I think people like me are guilt-ridden about going to where I know I don't have to worry and trust it. So,
And you know, the whole idea of like not consuming at all is like, you know, I know there's a whole school of people who are like, well, we just shouldn't buy anything. It's like, well, you need things.
That's not a good thought.
And
people are going to shop.
It does, you know, it does like spur the economy. And so, yeah, we want people to feel free to shop in a way that is, you know, guilt-free.
And continue to circulate good money. And don't worry, there's something there, people, for the chocolate lover in you. It's one of the first things I looked at. Organic chocolate-covered nuts, cha-ching. So there's really definitely is something for everyone. And let's just talk a little bit about, it's Rodales, just R-O-D-A-L-L-S, Rodales.com is the...
No, R-O-D-A-L-L-S.
D-A-L-E-S.
R-O-D-A-L-E-S.
Oh, yeah, R-O-D, and I'm looking at it, R-O-D-A-L-E-S.com, and Facebook and Twitter. There's a lot going on for our listeners that want to stay engaged, and we have lots of mothers in the, you know, the 30 to 45-year-old bracket that listen to me while they're doing the laundry or going to the grocery store or out running, and they're saying...
We don't have a huge... baby selection at this point. That's one of the areas I want to grow into. But
good.
for the holidays, you know, we have some really beautiful toys and things like that. And there's also, you know, any of the personal care products, they're safe for any age.
And like, I'm just going to put it out there. Could someone please buy me a Wild Feast bird seed wreath? That I would love to put on my door instead of something made from plastic, you know, made in China and all of that stuff. So I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I have. It was thoroughly delightful to have you on. And I hope
Thank
our paths
so
cross.
Much.
And everybody next week, Tuesday night, Natalie Proudfoot from Habitat for Humanity's Habistore. And on the 24th, Stephen Ritz. He's changing the world. He is the Green Bronx Machine. So everybody, make it a great green week. Maria, thank you for showing up in Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it very much.
I'm glad.
Take care.